Well, good morning.
How are y'all doing today? Good, great. It's great to hear that. And it's a good day to be here to gather together and to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, to come and give our thanks and give our praise. Yeah, I also have to lift up a personal joy for myself. My mom and dad are right there, and they've come from Garland. So. Thank you. So it's every Sunday is a happy day, and also in the midst of our happiness and our joys, the other part of life is works with us, and we do have grief, we do have trauma, we have loss, and we have the opportunity to bring all of this together and talk to God about it. Prayer is a gift. It strengthens our relationship with God, but also we can go to the Creator of the universe, which is larger than we can ever imagine, and bring our hopes and dreams and our sorrows and our fears to Him. And what a joy that is. And what a blessing it is. So let us now take a moment and go to the Lord our God in prayer. Almighty and holy God, truly we are blessed to be here to gather together in your name. We ask you, dear Lord, that is by your Spirit we will be led. Help us to lay aside all that interferes, all that we bring with us, that we carry on our backs. And bless us, dear Lord, that we may lay it aside and be filled by the joy and the power of your healing Spirit. Fill us with the bread of real life. Fill us with your Son, Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, as we come and we gather and we give worship, we lift up those upon our prayer list. Veronica Gennard, who minister, is quite sick, and we lift her up. As well as those that are on our hearts that we haven't spoken by name, we lift up all, dear Lord. For your healing touch to be upon us in our bodies and in our minds and in our spirit. To heal us in our grief and our worries. Help us, dear Lord, to really live this life in faith. To live this moment and the moments to come in dependence upon you and in celebration of you. We ask that you lead us as a congregation and as a people and as a nation and the nations of the world. We also give thanks, dear Lord, for the men and the women who stand between us and the violence of the fallenness of humanity. Those who serve abroad and those who serve here at home, on our streets. Those who come to our homes and throughout our towns and to fight fires and to bring healing to us. We ask for your protection for each and every one of them. Keep them safe. We pray for their families, and we give thanks, O Lord, for the family that you have created within us, your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that you will hear us. Hear us as we lift up with one voice the prayer that your Son, Jesus, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Scripture reading today is out of the Gospel of John. You'll find it beginning in chapter 6. It'll be verse 24 through 35. And just a little, it catches up a little bit within the story itself. I love the way the Gospel of John brings this together and brings the events of the day before, which was Jesus feeding what we call the feeding of the 5,000, which were men. As I said before, ladies, I'm sorry, but in the ancient days, I guess you guys just didn't count. So it was men plus wives and families. But by the way, we have learned, hadn't we, guys? We please nod your head. You won't want to go home if you don't. But Jesus has just performed a wonderful, what John would call a sign. He didn't like to use the word miracle, because what Jesus was doing was pointing to something beyond himself. Whenever he would restore the sights of the blind, feed the masses of people, and he's not only showing us how we need to live out our life with Christ as followers of Christ, is to be healers and to provide and to help each other, but he's pointing to something even more important. He's pointing to God the Father and what God is doing in him for us. He's provided a great feast the day before. But then he wants to provide them even more, something else. So we'll pick up the story on verse 24. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us so that we may see it and believe you? What works are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. The title of this sermon is Movable Feast. Maybe another subtitle might be From Sweets to Meats. Today we'll celebrate communion, break bread from the table that Christ has prepared for us. We will look at what it is to consume. What are we? You know, we're a world and particularly a nation that is extremely blessed. There's a great amount of wealth within our nation, and yes, we do have poverty. We have some extreme poverty, and we do what we can, and we reach out and the feeding that Gabe was speaking about that's coming up this Thursday, we are simply following the work of Christ and what Christ wants us to do in His world and in His kingdom and building His kingdom. Hopefully it's going to point to something even greater, much greater than us, much greater than anything that we can provide. Hopefully it's going to point to that wonderful movable feast that is Christ. The one that moves with us and goes with us throughout lives, if we will only dine with Him, dine on Him, fill our spirit. Like I said, as Americans, we have it pretty good. Actually, we have it really good, and most of us don't have trouble getting something to eat. And actually, we basically feast almost every night when compared to a lot of the world and past human history. And last night, with my parents and Tracy and the girls, we had a wonderful, wonderful dinner. And the food was good. But what's going to remain with me is the love of family and sharing that. Because love is really the power that moves this world. Love is what stays with us when our stomachs are empty. Love is what gives us strength when nothing else will give us strength. Love is what we can dine on in our heart and our spirit when we're sunken and broken. And it's the love of God that holds us up and gives us nourishment. Jesus had just got through the day before feeding this great mass of people. He looked on them and he had pity for them. And they had seen a great sign. And they'd had their fill. And I would imagine the bread was very good. But they look around and all they could really see was the good food that he had provided. The material. The parts of this world that are important to us, they sustain us, they keep us healthy, they keep us strong. Eating well is important. And so you can't blame them for going back and I forget about you guys all the time, I'm sorry. Going back and wanting to fill their plate again and have this wonderful food that Jesus has provided for them. But then he switches it around and he uses that as a teachable moment. Because he wants to tell them that there's something more than the food on the table. There is a greater need for nourishment. And we look at our own lives and the way that we eat. Isn't it interesting that with all of our wealth and all that we consume, Americans are often undernourished because of the types of food that we eat. We love our sweets. We love food that has been packaged and prepared for us, and it tastes great, but it doesn't really have the substance that we need to repair our bodies and to give us strength to help us grow and become strong strong within our body and our mind. It's rather odd that we are actually, in a very real sense, starving ourselves even as we feast. And then when Jesus looks at this and he sees the people and he knows their want, he reminds them that, we can do more bread, but there's something more than the material in this life. Here we are with the wealthiest nation in the world, yet we still find ourselves down and out. We still find ourselves run up against things in life that just we can't seem to overcome. We find ourselves depressed. We find ourselves turning to substance abuse and in all kinds of areas of our life as we try to cover up the pain inside. Yet we are wealthy people. We have more than other generations have had. Why are we still hungry? We do eat. We feast well on that which we have and we can purchase. I'm the first to admit, and I was talking in the last service, up until recently, I always wanted a particular car. See, Americans like fast cars, right? Especially those guys, but my wife can have a heavy foot sometimes. But when I was younger and my reflexes were faster, my eyes were better, I really wanted a Shelby Cobra 427 jet. I mean, no weight, all muscle. I probably would have not lived past the first day in driving it. But, man, I really wanted that. And you know what? It would have been a thrill. It would have been for some happy moments. But it wouldn't have been... It wouldn't have filled me. It wouldn't have fulfilled my life. And there's the difference that Jesus is talking about. You know, I can give you food, he says to these people. I can give you food, but it's going to perish. It won't last. It's not going to sustain you in your spirit. It's not going to sustain your soul. You're still going to need more than what we're talking about on the table. You need what I'm going to offer you. We need something that goes way beyond ourselves, something that we cannot create. We are made to live and to show the image of God, the love of God that we read in Genesis that was put into our hearts, and we seem to bury it so deeply. But we are meant to feed this image. and to let it bloom, to let it grow and to spring forth within the world. That is how the kingdom of heaven, God has designed it for it to grow and to be seen. That the love that He's put inside of us, He feeds, He waters, unless we cut it off. It seems for myself, and my best prayers are when I'm in trouble of some sort. whenever I'm feeling most desperate, does anyone else? When you really feel like your back's against the wall, that's when you pray your hardest. Wow, doesn't that seem a little backwards? I mean, when we get up and we're feeling great, shouldn't we just be singing like "How Great Thou Art"? I mean, just singing with the joy of God within us. But we don't feed ourselves. We don't feed ourselves enough of the good spiritual food. We are in a nation where the right to assemble, this, what we're doing right now, is protected in the Constitution. But we are a people that too often we want our spiritualism on the light side. We want it nice and easy. We don't want it to interfere with the way of life as we've designed it in our head. We don't really want God going in and making any big changes within us, because that might take us somewhere that we're not real comfortable with. Jesus says, "Take me inside. Abide in me, and I will abide in you." Jesus is a life changer. He's a life saver. But He changes us along the way. And too often we look for our spiritual guidance, and we look for our spiritual development, and we want it cheap and we want it easy. We don't want it to change anything within us. We don't want to be challenged by it. But when you read the Gospels, and if we do it with an open heart, we're going to be challenged. And that's good. That's how we grow. So instead of starving ourselves, spiritually starving ourselves as a people, even people of Christ, instead of letting ourselves go hungry, let us feast. Because Christ is with us wherever we go. Christ is the movable feast. He tells these people, you know, this isn't like the manna that was given to our forefathers, the Israelites, out in the desert. It was good for a day. And then they were commanded to throw it out and depend on God to provide it again, to have faith. It was more about, it was less about the food that fell from heaven, and it was more about have faith in God. And the same thing is true with us. Let us have faith in Christ, that Christ will live with us and be with us through all the traumas and tragedies and goodness and joys that life is going to bring, because we know it's going to happen. And God wants to walk with us. God wants to give us the strength to build up and to be strong, to have the bones and the muscle and the tissue of a heart that can handle all that life is going to throw at us. As difficult and tragic as it sometimes can be, we know that we do not walk alone if we will feast with Christ. I'm trying to improve my own feasting, and this past week I've made it a point to take an hour out in the middle of the day and close the door and spend time in prayer and reading Scripture, and purposely not for the sermon, not for anything else, but to feed my soul. We have to eat. Eat richly. Feast. Feast on God. We need prayer. We need what we're doing now. Gather together. Christianity is meant to be meant to be a community of people gathered in the name of Christ, looking for God to feed us and sustain us, and God looking to us to feed and sustain the world. We worship together. We sing songs together. The praises that we lift up together, God fills our hearts, and the only thing we can do is just sing. It's beautiful and it's powerful. We pray. We bring our concerns. We lift them up to Almighty God. God has given us ways to feed our soul, and one of them we will celebrate today, and the celebration of the Eucharist, of the Lord's Supper. When Christ, before he went and gave himself up for us that night before. He had a dinner. He had a feast. It was the Passover feast, a feast in the Jewish tradition of salvation. And he had that feast. He had that feast with his best friends, and he has it still today with his best friends, which is his, those who love him and have come and to spend time with him and to grow with him and invite him in to let him abide within us. And we don't understand. Actually, we don't understand hardly anything when it comes to the power of God. God is that big, beautiful mystery that we're so fortunate because this mystery loves us and loves us deeply. And the mystery of the salvation, we are given the sacrament to feed our souls. And don't ask me to explain it. I'm not good at math, and even if there was a math for it, I couldn't do it. But when we come forward to receive communion, ask God to help us to lay aside all of our troubles and to feed us. Let's face it, to call this a feast when you get a little great piece of bread and a little tiny thing of grape juice, on our level, that's not much of a feast. But what God offers us through Jesus Christ goes way beyond what we can conceive. Goes way beyond what we can harvest for ourselves. Goes way beyond what we can create. Let us come. Let us feast together this day. And let us take that nourishment to our body and our soul and feast throughout the week and the weeks to come. Let us go strong together in Christ Jesus. Let us go strong in the unity that is Almighty God. Let us go strong in our service and our witness, that the world will see who Christ is by looking at us and accepting the feast with us. Amen. And as it's been mentioned, today is the day that we celebrate Holy Communion for the Eucharist. We do not call this a Methodist table. It is not. It is the table of Jesus Christ. The power and the grace and the joy behind it belongs to Almighty God, not to us. So in that manner, we invite each and every one to come forward, anyone who is seeking Christ, anyone in need of healing, anyone who wants to celebrate and fill themselves with the joy of God. Come forward and let us celebrate together. If you'll turn to page 12 in your hymnal. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
glory to God. Amen. And if you turn to the Great Thanksgiving on page 13. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right, and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering and death, by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on that night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took the bread and he lifted it up and he gave thanks to God the Father. And then he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples as he gives it to us this day. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and he lifted it up and he gave thanks to you. And then he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for the many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Will those who will be helping with communion please come forward at this time? Has been broken. as we sing our closing hymn and continue in this, the joy of prayer and being filled by Christ, if this is the time you would like to join the church, we joyfully invite you to come forward. Or if you'd like to spend more time at the Chancellorette.
As we stand together, you'll find the lyrics of the song we're going to sing, "Fill My Cup, Lord," inserted in your bulletin. Let's stand together as we sing.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, "Draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Go forth with this blessing. The movable feast, Christ Himself is with you and in you. Feast upon the goodness of God and take this bounty into the world. Amen.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill my cup.